Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it.
Are you having a hard time finding great investment properties? Unfortunately, the best deals are rarely found locally. Successful investing begins with the right properties in the right markets. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best deals across the U.S. Our simple, proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly cash flow. Get your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing at noradarealestate.com/guide. That's noradarealestate.com/guide.
Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. With me is John Stiles, as always on this hump day hustle. John, it's a beautiful day.
It is middle of the week, so time to keep going, you know. So what are you working on this week? What's keeping you going?
Yeah, so I am stressed to the max. I've got a syndication that I'm working on right now, and it's capital raise time. So we're getting all the documents in line. This one I am trying to raise from both accredited and non-accredited investors. I've got quite a few non-accredited investors that want to do business with me. They know me. They trust me. Some of them have been my really close friends for a while. They have watched me. Some of them have watched me just through the years operate my business and want to be involved in it. So we had to do a 504 offering, which is just an offering that allows for non-accredited investors to invest in. And we have to do some extra filings and all that kind of stuff, but it is kind of exciting because I want everybody to become involved as much as they can. We still have a pretty healthy minimum, so it's not like they are not, fairly high net worth people. A lot of them are just outside of that accreditation, but it allows them to get in on a deal. So to me, it's really exciting. I like that idea. I've always liked the idea of allowing the have-nots to get involved in the haves, because when you're looking at real estate, or a lot of things, quite frankly, a lot of startups, a lot of just opportunities in general, boy, I mean, if you're not that accredited investor, if you're not that high net worth person, you really are just stuck with stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, and we all know how fun those are.
Yeah. So how many investors are you trying to put together in this particular offering?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I always try in my investments to keep it as small as possible. The less people I have running around an investment, just the easier it is to track and the easier it is to make everything work and gel and make sure I'm communicating properly as well with my investors. And that's the biggest thing for me, is I want to make sure that with all my investors, I'm treating them fairly and that every single one is being taken care of. So I try to get the least amount. On this one, we're doing a small raise, about $800,000, so it's not very big. I'm hoping that we'll be able to get by with about 10 investors total. So, most people, even the unaccredited investors, are putting up around that $50,000 mark or more. So we'll be at like 10 to hopefully no more than 12. We'll see. So, and I'm putting up a good chunk of change as well to make sure the deal gets done. And I believe it. I love it. I think the deal is fantastic. So if you've been in it, I think you should invest alongside it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so it's fun. I mean, it's a challenge. It's definitely interesting. This is a new, 504, haven't seen it before. And so we're putting it all together, working a lot with the attorney to make sure everything looks good. And, it's fun talking with all these potential investors and showing them a deal and getting them excited. And I get more and more excited because I do keep on doing more and more research. Everybody asks me one question, so I got to look into that, and I look into that, and it's been a lot of fun. So, and then I've been also doing a lot of talking with my property manager. This property is really distressed, John. It's 84 units, and a lot of the units are just in really poor shape. We also have rents that are really low. Market rent in that area for a two-bedroom is about $700 to $725 a month, and a lot of these tenants are still paying about $500 a month. So we are basically going through the property and we're deciding which units we're going to tackle first based on the tenants. You know, we're basically picking out the tenants that are either not paying very well, aren't paying, or are causing troubles in the property. And those are the ones that are going to go first, and we're going to clean up those units, fix those up, and then we're going to start offering to the tenants that are good that they can come into some of those clean, nice renovated units.
Yeah, it's a really great strategy.
Yeah.
How many units are there in the building?
It's just 84 units, so it's a little too small for complete on-site property management, but the great thing is the property manager manages the property directly. It's like a not even a block. It's a half a block away. That property is just over 100 units. I think it's 104 units. So we are going to share on-site management with that property, which is pretty slick. And then we'll have an on-site maintenance guy as well, full-time. So it should work out pretty well to have the third-party management along with a part-time on-site and full-time maintenance.
Yeah. And so that you said you're raising $800,000, and that probably includes both the purchase and the repairs, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we're going to get a renovation-type financing loan, 75%, and the seller did provide us a pretty good repair credit. So that's going to help us out with only needing to raise about $800,000. We're also putting a pretty big chunk for a replacement reserve because we are doing some heavy lifting. We want to make sure everything's taken care of there. So we've got $100,000. Essentially slush fund, replacement reserve fund, and we also have our budget $700,000, but we should be able to get it done for about $625 to $650. So the remainder of that $700,000 is just like the uppos that you just never know.
Yeah,
I've done enough construction. You know that there's plenty of opportunity for things to go wrong, and the higher the number, the higher the probability of something going wrong.
Yep. Yeah, so I always kind of play the head like that. So.
Yeah, definitely. It's so easy to go over budget. I've learned that over and over and over again. You would think that I would stop needing new lessons of that. It's just so easy to get for construction to go over. And so – you know, this one, I'm being really careful that we're just well beyond covered on it. My property manager and his construction crew went through it, and they projected a lot less in renovations than what I'm projecting. But again, I'm being diligent, and I'm trying to include everything and then some, and hopefully we'll be more than covered. I'm not going to do a capital call. And that's the thing that I don't ever want to do is a capital call. I don't want to call my investors and say, hey, you know what? You gave me $100,000, but I really need $120,000 from you. That's the last thing I want to do. I just don't need that uneasy feeling from the investors. So,
yeah.
So it's been fun. It's been fun, but it's stressful too at the same time.
Yeah.
So, John, what do you got going on?
You know, we're in the quarter four of the year, and so I'm kind of looking forward to next year, 2018, and trying to make sure I'm focused in on what I want to be doing. You know, as far as how much I want to make and what am I going to focus in to do that, kind of I picked out, three main areas within my business to focus on, and then below that, what are the action points that I can do throughout the year, throughout the quarter, throughout the month, to just, give myself some focus to make 2018 a great year. So
John, if you can you share us, you don't have to necessarily say the exact details of those focus points, but maybe how did you choose them? And if you want, you could share what they are. Because I think that's important. A lot of people go through the year, they make these goals at the beginning of the year in January, and then they kind of, either those goals don't come to fruition and they just kind of forget about them. But I think it's a great idea every quarter and even every month to look at what you've been doing and what you want to achieve. So I think that's awesome that you just said that you're doing that. So can you take us through that?
Sure. Obviously, this would be really specific to my situation, but one thing that can apply to everybody is just going through my database and staying in touch with people that I know already, people that already trust me, and maybe we have a personal relationship outside of business, and so I've already built rapport with them. So, you know, specifically to me, I'm a real estate agent in Minnesota with Bridge Realty. So, so working with people, whether they're getting ready to buy or sell or invest, you know, that's kind of my main clientele that I want to be working with.
Yeah.
And so, you know, underneath that database sphere, category and focus, you know, doing things like just, email newsletter, you know, having that go out on a regular basis. I really actually struggle with that that particular task because, you know, in this day and age, we get so much spam. I don't want to be just another one of those things that gets deleted immediately. So trying to be strategic about that and, you know, bring some value to my sphere. So beyond that, you know, having a print newsletter potentially, you know, I haven't actually really put that out there and people don't really think about it as often because we're all in the digital age, but that's just the thing. If people are going to just delete the emails, well, maybe I can put something actually physically in their hand to remind them about myself and my business.
Well, I think that's great. Actually, I get one from the realtor that listed the house that I'm living in. I'm a realtor myself as well, and I represented myself. But still, if I stopped being a realtor, he would be definitely one person that I'd consider. And I get a touch from him probably at least every quarter. I think it's probably even more than that. And, you know, I don't really read it.
Yep.
but I see his name. I know his name, and I throw it in the recycle bin. But I look at it. I see his face. I oftentimes do read something short on it if it pops out at me, and it's a touch, you know. I do know a lot of realtors, so that if I did end up stopping being a realtor, you know, obviously you're one, and I've got a lot of people that I do know, so. Not that I would necessarily choose him, but it's good to get your face in front of people. I think you're right. Computers are fantastic, but also that physical copy that we all forget about.
Yep. They say, and I don't know the statistics, but anybody that's in the world or in the United States in your focus area, they only have room for maybe two different realtors in their mind. So even though they might know a dozen or whatever the number is, when they think, oh, I need to sell, they might only think of the top two. So having multiple various touches throughout the year is important to stay top of mind with potential clients. So
that's a good point.
Yeah. Another focus group that I have is to a specific neighborhood in Minneapolis. You've probably heard of farming a neighborhood. And so yeah. I just this summer, pretty much, maybe in the spring, but a couple of months ago, I started to farm a specific neighborhood. It's the Armitage neighborhood in Minneapolis. And things like door knocking the neighborhood, sending out a newsletter to that neighborhood. And one thing I'm planning to do, probably starting tomorrow, is some reverse trick-or-treating, where I'm going to go out and hand some candy out two different people in the neighborhood as I knock on their doors. So
are you gonna dress up in like a pumpkin suit or something?
I haven't. No, I'm going to dress up as a realtor. So.
Yeah. Come
on. It's just as scary.
You should dress up like a monster or something. You got to do something like that.
I don't know if that'll work, but
no, maybe not. Well, but I think that's a great idea. So I got to ask you now, you've only been doing it for a short time. You did the door knocking. Have you sent letters or anything out?
The thing about farming is it's like real life farming. It can take several months to get a harvest out of it. So I've only been at this particular neighborhood for about 5 months. I picked it because my kids go to school in the neighborhood and I'm there quite a bit. So that's very helpful, you know, to have a farm that it's not a pain to kind of get to.
Right.
No real results from it yet, but I'm not worried about that yet. You know.
Yeah. I think you've got to stick with something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to start it. You've only been doing it for a few months. You've only touched them, you know, once or twice, and you got to keep on doing it. If you don't see results in 2 years, you might want to consider what you're doing. But you know, if you keep on consistently getting in front of them, that your face, like you said, these newsletters and stuff like that, I think that would probably pretty powerful, I think.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, and there's been marketing strategies I've tried in the past for other targets, and I've tried them for a while, and you know, maybe I got some results from them, but not really enough to make it worthwhile to continue on. So I've put other things aside, and you know, that's what you got to kind of do in business is, you know, try some things, test some things, and try to figure out what's going to work long term. So.
Yeah, I agree. With that said, and I know you'll agree with me, you also have to be consistent in it.
Yeah.
When you start something, it's not like just start something. The biggest thing I think a lot of people make mistakes on is they think it's going to be the magic bullet, and they're gonna try it, and instantly they're going to see results. Instantly they're going to be making a ton of money, and all their world problems are going to go away. And that's just not how it goes. If you're going to try to focus on something and market a certain way or brand yourself a certain way, it's going to take, you know, months and months and months, and it's going to take consistent and even effort on it. So that's a good point, though. You do always have to be, you know, trying new things and figuring out what the best strategy is and keeping track of it. Do you keep track of it a certain way, or is it more just – you know, based on the results, or do you actually track it?
Well, to a certain extent I do. Like, I can look at the deals that I've closed and I can say, where did that deal come from? What was the lead source? Was it a referral? Was it a specific marketing piece? So I can definitely look back in the past and see what has worked.
Earlier you said that you've been reaching out to people you know, people that trust you and know you. Do you have a list? Do you have like an Excel doc? Do you just pop it out of your head and hope you remember? How does that work?
No, right now I'm using Podio.
Podio.
Okay. Are you familiar with that?
I'm not, no.
Okay. It's very much like an Excel sheet, but it's online and you can manipulate it in many different ways. It's also this, I don't use this feature, but if you had a team or a group, you can invite people to work on it together. So that's a neat feature about it.
Cool.
And then the initial basic version is free, which is really nice. Obviously, if you wanted some more advanced features, you can, or actually to bring in a large company to use it, you'd have to pay for it. But it can work really great as just a customer relationship management software. So basically I have a lot of information about each person. And then what I've been really implementing recently is just taking notes better. Look, when I have an interaction with somebody so that later on when I come back to them, it's not just, who is this person? when was the last time we spoke. I can actually see the date and how we interacted and what the conversation was about.
Yeah.
And that just really helps to pick up where we left off next time I want to get in touch.
Yeah, I think that is actually really fantastic. So does Podio set it up to where you can easily track all that?
Interesting thing about Podio is that you have to create the system the way you want it. So it's okay. Super flexible, which it can be good or bad. So it's not like they already have exactly the program set the way they're going to use it, and you have to use it their way. You kind of get in there from square one and make it the way you want it. But they do actually, it's an interactive site, so you can use somebody else's template and then kind of go off of that. And so.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. I got to check that out because I have an Excel sheet and it's got all my investors or potential investors, not even necessarily investors. A lot of them haven't even done any business with me, but I know that they have maybe some potential. So I've got that whole list. I've got their contact information. And I try to write notes, like if somebody mentioned, yeah, I'd love to invest, or I've got, yeah, maybe have like 50 grand or something like that. I try to write that on there. And then, you know, if I had a specific conversation about them and they mentioned, you know, I'm really looking to get into real estate, I just don't know how, or something like that, that's like a key phrase, and I can throw that down there so that when you do have a conversation, you can remember certain things about it. Like, hey, have you, I know you're interested in real estate. Have you gotten any deals yet? And you could kind of just use that and, you know, build that relationship through there. So I think it's important to track who you're talking to and who are potential customers, and obviously being genuine with them at the same time.
Yeah, obviously you're still keeping a real relationship with them. It's just, this is the system that helps us who don't have, you know, photographic memories and, you know, can remember every single conversation. So,
yeah, and I often think I do have a photographic memory, which I'd say I kind of do, but you get so many people you talk to, you can still mess things up. Even though, like, I can remember what somebody told me 5 years ago pretty well. But I just think having it actually in a system is just so much more efficient and so much less stress on your brain. So,
yep.
Well, fantastic, John. Thanks for that. I think that's great. Is making your goals. And like I said, you know, people just, I think so many people make a goal January 1st and then they don't think about it again. And when you're sitting there on quarter four, you're going, okay, now what do I do? What do I got to do? And not what do I got to do in quarter four? What do I got to do in quarter four? And what is 2018 now look like? And start thinking about that instead of on January 1st or December 30, you know, 30th, 31st, whatever, just going, okay, now what do I do? You're already thinking ahead. You're stepping into where do I need to go from here? So I think that's fantastic. Appreciate you sharing that with us.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that concludes the Hump Day Hustle. I'm Todd Daxermer signing out. With me is John Stiles. John, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
And where can everybody find us, John?
Online, of course.
Online, of course. We can go to our Facebook page, Pillars of Wealth Creation. Go onto our website, pillarsofwealthcreation.com, or, of course, on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe and give us 5-star ratings. We'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear how we're doing and what you'd like to maybe even see on our show. So send us a note. If you go on our webpage, you can click and send us an email and tell us what you want us to talk about. Have a great day. Remember, every day is a Saturday. Want to learn more about real estate investing? Tune in to the best real estate investing advice ever with Joe Fairless. Joe has the longest daily running podcast on iTunes, well over 1,000 episodes. You can listen to me on Joe's podcast, episode 1015, where Joe interviews me and asks me about my best real estate investing advice. Joe has interviewed fantastic guests such as Emmett Smith, Robert Kiyosaki, Barbara Corcoran,
all kinds of fantastic guests. Make sure that you go on to Joe's podcast, subscribe, give him a 5-star rating and review. You do not want to miss out on a fantastic podcast, the best real estate investing advice ever with Joe Fairless.